It's time for the Truitt Insurance and Bonding Hotline. Let's talk to Tom.
Tom Von Eschenbach. Some call him T-Bird. I'm just glad that he's on the air with us. Tom, you with us?
I am. How are you guys doing
today? Hey, good morning.
Tom said, you need to count yourself lucky because it's not for many people that he would wake up and decide to be on the air at this hour of a Saturday morning. So we're glad you're with us, Tom.
I'm glad to be here. And I just want to give you a shout out and thanks for reincarnating the T-Bird moniker. most people in the military don't call me that, and I'm an Army aviator, so we don't have call signs unless we're in the units, and so I had quite a few inquiries about T-Bird.
Yeah, it's Brock's like, yeah, everybody just calls him T-Bird. It's like, you want me to put that down? Yeah, tell him it's T-Bird. So T-Bird, I did that, way. And then this is one of the great things that are setting us apart right now. I'm misspelling everybody's name on my little flyer. So, like, Tom's name isn't short anyway, but I added some extra letters at the end of it.
Extra consonants.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Tom, I mean, you know, when everyone was learning their letters back in the day, you know, you had, like, Sam Smith over there with just a few letters. I mean, were you bitter at that guy?
I didn't really know any different. And, you know, when you kind of learn to spell it, it's easy. And actually, it's a benefit because when they pause with your name, you knew it was you. I was at the end of the alphabet, so I could do all my homework in class before they got to me. So
well, that's a cool name, without a doubt.
No, there's no doubt.
I am going to go ahead and say I'm not smart enough to know anything about what you do. So, man, fill us in on this. This is amazing stuff.
Perry Labs, modular open systems approach. And what I'm gathering is this is to allow the different branches to communicate with themselves on the battlefield. Is that something?
Man, the way I saw it on the website, I love this. It's preparing for the digital age battle space. That's amazing sounding.
It is. And then, so just a little history of the company. Created by guys that used to work in what we call three-letter agencies. We've grown from, you know, applications on unmanned systems, or most people would refer to those as drones. But it's not only... and the technologies that we use are for connecting, you know, different services and have that jointness to the way we fight.
Sure.
But it's really focused on, you know, the systems we have, the very complex systems in aviation or on the ground, to connect things and build capability, much like we would build in the commercial space, you know, a computer or a network, right? So today, if you picked up a Dell computer, it has interfaces on the sides. It has a TV, has an HDMI port. The software is very built for uses plug and play.
Sure.
Military equipment isn't designed like that, and because mostly one vendor used to make things from end to end.
Sure.
And as a small company focused on connecting all these things, you know, we're doing things, and there's a big push for things called open systems where you can do that.
Sure.
And really, here's the bottom line. You know, this is why I still wake up every day loving what I do, is I'm still serving the warfighter and helping them become more lethal.
Sure.
On the battlefield. And if you look at what's happening in the Ukraine, you look at what's happening in Israel and Gaza, robotics, autonomy, systems at scale that are very affordable and smaller are the way to go. Like we can no longer depend on billion-dollar weapons systems to win the day, right? Sometimes that smaller, more affordable thing that you can integrate new technology faster and more affordably is the way to go. And that's essentially what Perry does.
I got you. Now is some of that information-based? I mean, information wins the battle, right? I mean, if you understand, it used to be recon, and it would take, hours or days for horses to come back. And, you know, I think about even, like, AWACS and JSTAR, and they would try to do the best that they could to distribute information to all the various branches. But is this a way to try and make that sort of real life development and presentation of information to the various branches and people, including those who would be operating the drones and other systems?
Sure. I mean, that's a great, you know, use case. We don't really make all the stuff. We just make it to where you could utilize it in the way however you want it. And maybe I'll use the sometimes it's an unfair comparison, but like think about your iPhone or any phone for that matter. It's a piece of hardware that has software on it, and people have figured out over time, in like the last 20 years, how to watch TV on it, how to bank on it, how to call a cab on it.
Sure.
I mean, so that the user gets to figure out the best application. We help that application work to however way they want to use it.
Okay. Are you kind of like the operating system of the phone and or the hardware?
That's exactly right. And so we can provide a software operating environment to help connect all these things to make them work. But right now, you know, and Apple owns the operating system for that phone, and that's, you know, that's a, what we would call vendor lock. We want to allow the user to pick multiple types of applications, no matter who the vendor is, to be able to make that thing.
That makes sense.
Tom, how does that work? I mean, like, do you go after contracts with the government on this, or do you create the system and then go pitch it to them? What is that process like? How do you get your products in front of them and then them buy it from you?
Part of the difficulty, and sometimes the best solution doesn't always win. And you know, we're all products of our experiences and how the systems are. But the military acquisition and procurement system is the best. And I know there's a lot of reform out there, but it's like any thing. It's just hard to break. I mean, an example is, you know, healthcare.
Sure.
In our world today, we have more facilities, workout facilities, medical facilities, doctors. We try to eat healthy, but yet the United States is the most unhealthy, you know, first world nation. And so it's the system and sometimes the things in the way we do things that prevent that progress. But we do. We partner with vendors that want to show that their product is open. We go right to the military. We have some contracts with SOCOM, Special Operations Command. We have contracts with the Army on unmanned systems and other things that we sell directly to them. But we can do it a variety of ways.
Folks, you're listening to Truett News Radio. We're on the air right now with Tom von Eschenbach, a VP of Crewed Aviation Systems and GM of the Huntsville site of Perry Labs, and a friend of mine for many, many years. I noticed that there was a press release here recently that your workplace is about to expand substantially.
Yeah, so we're like busting at the seams in our current little office. There's guys sharing a workspace. So yeah, we're moving into a new facility in Huntsville. It was in existence, but we've really worked to vamp it up to do the things that we do there. Spent about almost $10 million, and we're going to have a really, you know, open workspace where we will have a place where a lab where we'll actually demo our capabilities to the customer to show them that you can really truly plug and play stuff and show all the neat kind of things that we did.
Looks like it'll be about 36,000 square feet of fun.
Yeah. Tom, let me ask this, and again, I'm coming from just ground zero. I don't know anything about it, but, you know, Huntsville is just booming with all kinds of activity, but particularly in the defense space and rockets and all this stuff. Is there collaboration between companies up there, or does everybody kind of do their own thing? They're all separate, or what do you see on that front?
That's exactly right. I mean, that is the beauty of Huntsville, because I can walk across the street, go down to across the research park, and go talk to somebody who, in one respect, one day might be a competitor, and the next day might be a collaborator with us. And so Redstone Arsenal is there that has all of the acquisition offices for Army Aviation. They have the Army Missiles and Space. There's Space Missile Defense. There is NASA is in the Huntsville area. There is, you know, SpaceX and Rocketjet Aerodyne is also there. I always mess it up. Aerojet Rocketdyne, one of the two. so the commercial space is also there. So it is a hotbed of collaboration. And I might not get this right, but that Cummings Research Park, I believe, is the second largest research park in the United States, if I'm not mistaken, for the amount of companies that are there.
Good grief. You know, you alluded to a minute ago that you were an Army aviator, and let's get into that for just a little bit. You flew some helicopters while in the Army.
I did. I was Kyle Warrior. It's the small, now retired scout helicopter that was lightly armed.
Was that the kind of the bubble cockpit?
Yeah, it had what we called a mass mounted sight on the top. We always said it looked like a little ET head. Initially, you know, like all, I would say all, but most of our systems that were designed and developed in the 80s to fight in the Cold War and on the European plains, you know, was used to peek over the trees with a camera and a laser rangefinder and call targets for artillery, was then later developed when these small aircraft were helping escorting the tankers in the Persian Gulf, you know, in the early 90s. And then we had a machine gun, rockets, or Hellfire missiles, and then certainly employed those in Iraq and Afghanistan, which I had the honor to serve and lead troops in during my time.
Yeah, well, and thank you for that for sure and sincerely. And then after you flew them there, you turned around and you were an instructor pilot at Fort Rucker, correct?
I was not an instructor pilot. I was an instructor to the captain's career course for that. So for the officers, as they were coming through their military education and preparing for the next level. Now, we did simulations, but it was mostly the tactical and doctrinal part of the instruction on that.
Good grief.
Yep. Those guys had already learned how to fly, so then they were just learning how to tactically employ their aircraft.
Okay.
I mean, man, you have done some incredibly cool stuff, without a doubt. But I hate to have to let you go, but we got to move on. But, man, thanks so much for being part of the show this morning. Is there anything, or if y'all are hiring or any of that, do you want to get that out before we let you go?
Yeah, sure. We are hiring. We usually do, just like you guys do, use the LinkedIn application for that. But we're certainly a growing company, very software engineering centric. But yeah, I mean, if you're in the area or listening to the show and you want to come join a agile digital team that's delivering capability to the warfighter, please join Prairie Labs and look us up. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, man, have a great rest of your weekend, and thanks again for being part of what we're doing.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, guys. And Brock, good talking to you.
All right, brother. Absolutely good to catch up. All right. I appreciate it. That's Tom Von Eschenbach, VP of Crewed Aviation Systems and GM of the Huntsville site of Prairie Labs.